Warning. The Zero Dead podcast is made for mature audiences only. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Welcome to part one of our playthrough of Carnival of Madness, a Call of Cthulhu adventure set in 1970, published by Miskatonic Repository. It's written by Alex Gilliot and Ian Christiansen. Content warnings for this horror scenario can be found in the episode description. In this episode, you can hear Luke as Sean Bungo Levinson. Sana can be heard as Brandy Williams. Faye will portray the role of Callie Donahue, and Jeroen will play Douglas Stevenson. I, Sebastian, will be your keeper of arcane lore. We hope you enjoy this recording and all its warts and audio issues, because I have no idea what the hell I'm doing in terms of audio production. But nonetheless, I hope you have fun. Also, Luke made a very lewd joke right around here.
Luke!
Oh,
no.
Wow, Luke. Anyway, welcome all to our Carnival of Madness campaign. Double one shot. Let's dive right in. The twisting, turning country road rolls away beneath you as aging mill towns, farms, and apple orchards blur past the windows. A cheap air freshener shaped like a pine tree swings wildly from the rearview mirror. The brisk October air is kept at bay by the hot air pouring from the vents with the smell of a heater that hasn't been used in 8 months. Orange and yellow leaves blow across the asphalt in swirls as the setting sun dapples through the dense trees that line the road. You come to an intersection at the ruins of what must have once been a farm. The road sign to your right reads Dunwich, 8 miles, while the one on the left reads Aylesbury, 3 miles, a wooden sign next to the Aylesbury sign implies simply reads Carnival and has an arrow pointing to the left. As you stand there at that crossroad, there's an overwhelming sense of deja vu as you look at the dilapidated barn at the corner and see a crudely painted phrase on the wall facing you. How do you run from what's inside your head? Can anybody roll me an ID roll?
99.
All right.
95.
Uh-huh, so that's two failures, one critical fail.
Do we all have to roll?
If you want to, you can.
I can.
I rolled the 97.
73 over 45.
Woo! That's good, let's get them all out of the
way. We're going
now.
To die.
Let's get them all out
right?
of the way.
We're
now.
Going
all
to heat fails. The car and die, right?
No, it's just.
We don't even make it to the fucking carnival. We die now. Sorry, dead.
Just so you, get an idea where this quote was from. But you have no idea. As the car continues, the music on the radio begins to fade as the DJ cuts in.
Denifan's Season of the Witch. Before that, we heard the Rolling Stones with Painted Black, almost rounding out our trip back to 1966. Our spooky tour of the 1960s continues after local news and weather with Jay Kitchens on your number one rock station, WAAF Worcester.
State police are still searching for 11-year-old Alice Lambert, who was taken from the Worcester State Hospital 5 days ago by a man posing as an orderly. State Police Detective Brian Reynolds told reporters that while the investigation has been going slowly, they recently received an anonymous tip suggesting Alice may still be in Massachusetts. Alice is described as 4'8" tall, 78 pounds, with blonde hair and hazel eyes. Doctors advise that her psychological state is such that she is unable to speak to strangers or make direct eye contact. Witnesses describe the suspect as being a white male in his mid-30s, slender, and of average height. He has short black hair, blue eyes, and was last seen wearing a white hospital uniform. Anyone with information should immediately call the Massachusetts State Police tip hotline at 1-800-555-3400. The Forgotten Child Foundation is offering a reward of $1,000 for any information that ultimately leads to Alice's safe return.
Thank you, Jake. I can wholeheartedly say that everybody here at WAAF is praying for the safe return of Alice Lambert. Now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Make Halloween fun with one-stop shopping at Woolworth or Woolco for your Halloween needs.
Costumes from $1.83 to $3.99. Make Halloween fun and easy. Make just one stop at Woolworth or Woolco.
Our spooky tour of the 1960s continues with Bobby Goolsborough. No fun at the fair.
Coming around a tight curve, the vehicle's headlights illuminate a tall, gangly clown with curly orange hair, holding a bright yellow and red sign that reads Carnival Pandemonium in big cartoon letters. Below that, in simpler text, right this way, he's standing at the corner of an unnamed side road, the A-frame sign propped up against him, and his right hand is frantically pointing down the dirt road to the right. As you slow down for the turn, you can see that the clown's face is covered in classic white makeup with a bulbous red nose. He's wearing a baggy yellow and black outfit, and in his left hand he clutches a bundle of strings attached to a dozen or so red balloons. The clown's smile widens as you approach, and he begins waving comically and jumping up and down, the red balloons flailing and bubbling madly over his head. He begins making more exaggerated pointing gestures towards the side road. As you turn, you glance back and see the clown illuminated by the red tail lights. He steps out of the road behind you, still jumping up and down excitedly, and waves at you as he fades into darkness. After a minute, the narrow road leads to a weather-worn covered bridge spanning a small river. The dark opening is flanked by a pair of brightly glowing jack-o'-lanterns that faintly illuminate the cracked red paint on the structure. As you pull onto the bridge, you hear the creaking of boards and the steady rush of water amplified in the enclosed space. At the far end, your headlights fall upon a pair of teens that immediately turn and run, dropping the paint cans that they have been using to deface the bridge. Passing the place where the teens were, you can see that what they wrote was, "The end is very fucking nigh." Almost immediately on the other side, you arrive at a nearly full parking lot. It's illuminated with hundreds of amber lights strung through the surrounding trees. And somewhere in the distance, you can just make out the sound of music, bells, shouts, and the laughter of patrons. You manage to find one of the last parking spots near an illuminated archway painted to look like an open mouth of a clown that bears an uncanny resemblance to the one that just so enthusiastically welcomed you back at the road. Beyond is a trail through the woods lined with more strings of amber light. So you have arrived at the carnival. Is there anything you would like to do right now?
Who's driving?
Well, I would say that you have just parked, so you're all getting out of the car.
Oh, it's let's see where the booze is at.
Let's go.
We're excited. I've been waiting for this the entire year.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. The entire year. Love it.
Like, last year I missed it because I had the mumps, but this year I'm so down.
Are you making fun of me?
No.
The man in the sky? Never.
Fuck you.
At the end of the trail. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to mention about my character. I've noticed something about him. Even though he's a weed dealer, he's got an education of 90 and he's gone for English lessons at college. So,
yeah, that's true.
I'm going to say he's an intellectual weed dealer, dude.
Well, I have to say the stereotype of a dopey drug dealer is highly overrated, because as a drug dealer, you have to do math, you have to be social, you have to be eloquently speaking. So drug dealing is it's a harsh business as well. I do physical as mentally.
I do have a fast talk of 55,
and there you go.
So I can talk the talk.
Can you walk the walk?
No.
That's because you use so many drugs.
Yes.
How can you talk so fast and smoke so much weed? And I am a super Christian, God. Pure believing in God girl of 20 years old, and I can only talk five. Fast talk five.
Now, fast talk is like your persuade.
No, it's not persuade.
Yeah, there's a different persuade.
My persuade is really high. Well, right. 50.
You know, all I can say to that is, man, all I can say is this weed, man, it's God's creation, man. That's all I got to say. You might want to try some. Do you want some?
No, thanks.
Fast talk is not persuade, it's deceive, basically.
But why would I want to deceive someone?
I don't know.
God wouldn't deceive people.
Indeed. At the end of the trail, the words Carnival Pandemonium arches over the entrance in large, friendly letters of red neon. A small, warmly lit tent marks the entrance to the carnival, with a set of three turnstiles restricting access. A young man in a red vest stands in the front of the center turnstile, with a pouch hanging to its side. The tent is open, on the side facing the trail, and an elderly bald man smiles and begins pulling strings of tickets from dispensers as you approach. A wooden sign above the opening reads, "Admission. Adults, $1. Children, ages 6 and 12, 50 cents. Children under 6, free entrance."
Do we get student discount?
No.
Let's see, how many are we? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 tickets, please.
Right, sir, that would be $4.
$4. Let me get... Where did I put my wallets? Wallets. Ah, there it is. I'm very slowly got it. 1, 2, 3. $4.
Like, you see his large hand slam on the money, grab it from you, and he gives you 4 tickets. He scoops the money into a cash box behind the counter as he hands you the tickets and a 3-fold flyer. As you can see, there's apple bobbing, mind reading, sword swallowing, juggling, puppets, feats of strength, fortune telling, fire eating, lose your mind at the asylum, test your nerve on the wheel of fortune. Don't miss our Halloween night special show, Night of Bedlam, featuring Lady Sari. Visit the astonishing freak show. Stay for the witching hour and get half off all adult beverages. Carnival Pandemonium. Fun and games, costumes, and rides. 6 p.m. to midnight. As you turn over the flyer, you see a map of the fairground. Does everybody have the layouts?
Ish.
Yeah.
Where's the bar?
Well. So you enter the carnival, I imagine? Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Stepping into the clearing, you're dazzled by all the exciting lights, sounds, and smell. The Ferris wheel stands above the treetops, turning slowly in a clockwise direction. Most of the carnival is hidden from view by the solid 8-foot-tall wooden fence that curves off to the left. Its upper edge is trimmed with warm orange and yellow lights that blink randomly. A chipped and faded red arrow painted on the barrier reads, "The fun is this way." To the right of the arrow is a hand-painted wooden sign that lists the upcoming activities available throughout the evening. It reads as follows. 6 p.m. Apple bobbing. Location? Performers Row. 6:30. The Puppet Master. Also at the Performers Row. All of them will be at the Performers Row unless stated otherwise. 6:45 p.m. Juggles the Clown. 7 p.m. Costume Contest. 8 p.m. The Marvelous Baron Vladislav. 8:15 Archie, Master of Knives. 8:30 Blockhead Joe. 8:45 Strongman Max. 9 p.m. Oberon the Mystic. 9:30 Infernus, the Fire Eater. 10 p.m. Yvette, the Woman of Rubber. And then 11 p.m. It's the witching hour in the food row. And 11:30 p.m. Night of Bedlam. in the main tent. The carnival... discordant carnival music from the various rides and attractions blend into the background melody that is somehow not unpleasant, Sonna. A half dozen laughing teens run past you along the fence-lined path. One of them shouts, "Last one there is a rotten egg!" The carnival is decorated with images of skeletons, witches, and ghosts. There are hundreds of carved jack-o'-lanterns along the fence between many of the tents, lit with small candles in jars. Families in costumes wander among the attractions and rides, spending their pocket money on deep-fried foods in a vain attempts to win plush animals. The exterior appearance of all of the carnival tents is very similar. Each has a wooden frame covered in bright yellow and red striped canvas. Judging by the peaks in the middle, there are presumably central supports as well. Throughout these, though these can't be seen from the outside. Stout ropes tied to the outer corners stretch and anchor the tents to thick wooden stakes driven deep into the ground. The canvas on the front of each tent is open and propped up on poles to act as an awning, providing a space for the carnival goers to gather beneath. It's like a little tent flap. Just inside each of the tents is a weathered wooden counter with panels on the front that are splattered with mud near the bottom. Each panel is painted with a different scene related to the game within, because, guys, there are games. All of the art has an old-fashioned style that has dulled and cracked over the years. That light within gives the tents an inner glow that fills the pathway with a warm, diffuse light. Some of the larger gaps between the tents are blocked by 4-foot-high fence sections strung with blinking lights, much like the taller one around the main entrance. Many fences are plastered with garnished Art Deco-style posters. These advertise that the event will culminate in an extraordinary stage performance at midnight called The Night of Bedlam. This event will, apparently, feature a singer named Lady Sari, who is depicted as a picturesque woman with an elaborate golden dress. Other images and words can be seen in the background, though they are faded and less distinct. You now have an overview of the carnival. Where would you like to go? But before we do, please introduce your characters.
Well, I'm Sean Bongo Levinson. Call me Bongo, dude. It seems that I seem to have a lot of English. English is hard, as you know. So I'm probably a secret intellectual, but I just put it on for the day, the customers, man. For all some right. reason, I'm 22, so I might be... Am I an older student then, I take it? So I'm the one that buys all the beer for people on campus and stuff?
Yeah, basically. I imagine that you, as a stoner, you have to keep up the facade and not score so high in your tests and everything. It's not that you're not smart, it's just that you're bored and you couldn't be arsed.
I'm Van Wilder on it. Hell back, man.
Be a lot cooler if you did. All right. All right, thank you. Hmm? Sonna.
Hi. I'm Brandy. I'm 20 years old. I'm blonde. I've got green eyes. I'm your all-white Christian-American sweetheart. I'm wearing my purity ring. And I know I work as a waitress, but I know how to use like my blonde hair and my charm to get tips, but I'll always show my purity ring if they try to come on to me. So I love God and I live with my grandparents. Have you seen my purity ring?
Oh, yes. We have Faye.
I'm Kelly. 23 years old. I'm a student. I study psychology. And I am quiet. And I think I'm very smart. And I think that going to this carnival is quite boring. But because I study psychology, I probably have to go and watch people, this type of things. And I think that my dear friend... Actually, I don't think anything, but every time... Brandy talks about her ring, I roll my eyes. I don't say anything, I just roll my eyes.
Yes. Good. Thank you. Jeroen.
Yes. I'm Douglas. I'm a quarterback for the Boston Eagles. I'm just here to have a grand old time. I'm gonna get some balloons, I'm gonna dunk some clowns, bob some apples. You know, all the good stuff.
Before we go any further, I want to know what everyone's wearing. What's your costume? So I'm dressed up as a rag doll.
Costume? I don't have a costume. I just look like a hippie.
comes myself, guys, man. It's Halloween.
I'm wearing black jeans, black shirt. I don't know how you call the shirt that doesn't have sleeves.
A sleeveless shirt.
Yeah, a sleeveless shirt. And you can see the bra on the sides. It's black also. It's all black. My nails are black. My makeup in the eyes are black. And I'm wearing Princess Tiara.
I'm the black princess, basically.
Yes.
Trashy, but you can take her home to mother.
She's where for the witches.
I'm dressed up as the guy from the Planet of the Apes. So basically just a loincloth.
Oh my. Yes. You maniacs! Alright, so you are dressed as Charlton Heston.
Lovely. So what's everyone's age?
It's Charlton Heston, right?
Yes. I am. No idea.
It sounds right.
Yeah, it's probably Charlton Heston.
I think I'm the youngest of the group. I don't know. I think I'm 20.
Yeah, I'm 23.
I'm 23.
I'm 22. Well, I thought I was the oldest, but I'm not. I'm the second
youngest. You may buy beers at the school, at the university, but here we can buy it for you.
I don't want any beer.
Not for you. No, Brandy. I know. What are you going to drink then?
Well, I was going to...
Orange soda.
Orange soda. Did I sneak any drink in my bag? Is there a way, like Delta Green, having a luck roll? But I've remembered that luck, you spend luck, don't you, to make
you
a roll work?
You spend luck, but what's your luck score right now?
70.
So, roll a luck. So it's under 70.
But is that a thing in Call of Cthulhu?
Yes. Yeah, let's just... It is a thing right now.
49 under 70.
Yeah, you got a little flask with you.
Bradley? Yeah, no, not Bradley. Douglas.
Who's this
you
Bradley?
You got my Dougie. Oh, no. Dude, who's this Bradley? Sorry, I'm already high, you know.
It's dark, man.
Want some gin?
No, man, I'm going to get some punch.
I want some.
The lady of luxury. I'm going to pass some gin over to...
Thank you.
Over to Kelly. So.
Oh, it's good.
The freak show.
Balloons.
It's on. It's 6 p.m.
What time is it now? What time did we arrive?
Well, you arrived at around 6. And as you are moving through the carnival, before you get to the fun and games, there is a little bit of, well, a little bit of a downer. You see a few police officers handing out flyers, and it looks like they handed out most of them. They have about 10, 20 left between the two of them. And it is a poster of a missing girl. You remember hearing something about this on the radio between the funky tunes, Season of the Witch and No Fun at the Fair. There was a little broadcast. Do you do anything with these police officers? Does they hand you this flyer?
No.
They are handing... I will take one with me. One flyer.
Yeah. Cool.
I'll take one as well.
Oh, shiftily shuffle past.
And I say, is this the girl we were listening in the car, you think?
I think it is. I wonder why it says, do not approach.
Yeah. She's quite young. Well, whatever. I don't think she's going to be here.
Come on, guys. Games, man. I'm putting a downer on everything, man.
Yes.
Let's go. You're going.
So what do we do first?
Yes. You are close to the balloon breaker or the whack-a-mole. What would you like to do? You can also pass these and go somewhere else. The world is your oyster, as they say. The carnival is your playground.
Is the balloon breaker a guy who makes, like, animal balloons? Or...
I think it's where you have to pop balloons, right?
Yeah, you see a few people throwing darts at balloons.
Come on, Doug, show us how it's done, man.
Right, man. Come on, give me five darts.
Right, so the counter is lined with metal cups, each containing three darts. The wooden back walls covered with the colorful balloons arranged in rows. A few gaps mark where previous balloons have been broken, leaving a tattered bit of plastic tacked to the pitted surface. The image on the counter front depicts a happy child and happy children dressed in vests and suspenders throwing darts at a comically exploding balloon. The text above them reads, Balloon Breaker. A wooden sign hanging from the counter reads, Three darts for a quarter. One, small. Two, medium. Three, large. Hanging on the wall to the right are a dozen stuffed animals ranging in size from a mouse that fits the palm of a hand to a 5-foot-tall bear with black eyes, a red vest, and a white blue tie. As you all look, a young man breaks one of the balloons, causing the carny to cheer enthusiastically. He says, We have another winner! He immediately snatches a medium-sized rabbit off the wall and hands it to the patron, who immediately turns and hands it to his excited girlfriend. She lets out a squeal of delight and hugs him. They walk away, arm in arm. So, Douglas, you want to show them how it's done?
Yeah.
All right. So you pick up one of the cups with three darts. Roll me a... What's your dexterity?
65.
65, all right. So you get a bonus die. Which is just another D10. Well, a tens die. So the 40, 50, 60.
Yeah.
And you take the better result.
Well, I have a spare one here. So that's a 21.
What kind of success is that? Is that a hard or an extreme?
That's a hard success.
All right, you pop one balloon. You have two more darts.
All right, so another bit bonus thing?
For you it's another bonus.
I get three of these. All right, cool. So that's a... 7. Extreme success.
All right, you pop another balloon. Can you go for the 3?
Oh, come on, Doug.
That is a 59 under 65.
It's a regular success. The dart just misses the balloon.
Come on, man.
Oh, well, well.
It says it's a failure. What?
And he... turns around and hands you a pretty sizable stuffed animal. It's a little fly.
That's weird.
A fly. Okay.
As you hand it, you see it's he hands you a bunny.
Wait, he hands me a fly and a bunny?
No, he hands you a bunny.
Okay. I put the bunny on my shoulders and hop around like, bunny, 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 bunny.
Anybody else want to have a go?
I want to try.
All right. What's your dexterity?
Very good. 55.
Oh, well, you also get a bonus die.
It's a normal success.
So you rolled a 51.
Yes.
So the first dart narrowly misses one of the balloons. Little ladies, no problem. You can try again.
Okay.
Come on, Kelly.
Whoop.
Thanks.
Kelly.
The first time was 68 and then it was 78.
It just goes wide. As like the people behind you are yelling at you as an encouragement, you look at them what you throw and it just misses all the boots.
Another, I hit something else.
Well, roll me a luck roll. Mm-hmm. It's on your character sheet under luck points, I think.
68.
All right, so roll a D100.
I will. 76.
It doesn't hit anything. Just falls to the ground as it falls off the wall. You have one dart left.
Okay.
Kelly.
It's 002.
Well, that's the next
the first point. Time.
Yes. It's not going to get any better than that.
And 42.
So it's a 2 as you fairly dead center hit the last balloon. And the man turns around and gives you like a tiny plush little cockroach.
And I really look at him like, really?
What?
And I take it really like upset. And as you step back.
You look down and you put the little stuffed monkey in your pocket.
It's a monkey or a cockroach?
No, it's a monkey.
Did we all notice the cockroach and then turn it into a monkey?
No, it was a monkey. I told you.
Okay. Thank you for the monkey.
So
and I'm.
Yeah.
Confused.
Oh.
What do you want to do?
Bobby.
Come on, Brandy. Let's go apple bob.
I want a cotton candy.
Oh, don't you want a whack-a-mole? Let out all that anger.
Well, what do you want to do? You want a whack-a-mole? Or...
I
want
to go apple bobbing.
Okay, I'll go anywhere. On the way, do I see any cotton candy shop selling cotton candy?
I'm sure there is a cotton candy... it's number 31, Pink Clouds.
Oh, let's fix it, apple bobbing!
Let's go.
Is apple bobbing right now?
Yeah. 6 p.m. We... to
6:30. Oh, that'll be in performance, right, then, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It's next to the cotton candy.
All right,
Can I go into the photo booth while you lot all slip off? And just walk away? I'm going in here. At number 8, or you all get a performance row.
All right, Bongo.
You sure can?
Because I know it's going to be fucked up.
I left the monkey on the count. I didn't take.
I will give Kelly the bunny and take the monkey.
monkey.
And Kelly just rolled her eyes.
Such a prominent display of toxic masculinity. So,
come on, guys, let's go to apple bobbing. I used to do that at church camp. I really want to do it again.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
As it's 22. Sorry, it's 36 different parts that I have to scroll through. There we go. 6 p.m. All right. Which means that Sean Bungo first moves past the photo booth and slips away from you guys. Do you want to do this stealthily or just telling them I'm staying here and I'll see you at the...
Well, I wouldn't say stealthily. It's more of that as we're all walking, I just go, ooh. Well, I'll catch up with you guys. This looks good.
Can you leave your bottle with me?
Yeah, sure. I got the good stuff anyway. Hey.
As you... arrive at the photo booth. Just inside a smaller tent is a large wooden paneled box about the size of two phone booths. Remember phone booths, guys? The box is ornate and trimmed with a decorative brass fitting. A picture frame on the left side shows a black and white picture of a typical family of four, all laughing and trying to stay in their frame. Laughing. On the right side is a burgundy curtain. A carny sitting in a wooden chair next to it pulls the curtain back to reveal a narrow seat on the right and a large pane of dark glass on the left. Below the glass it reads, 4 pictures, 25 cents. And below that, in smaller lettering, look at the center of the glass. There's a coin slot just to the right of the price.
I'm going to cozy up to Kelly, get some of her money. So do I take my picture? I put a quarter in?
Yep. Once the curtain is closed and you put a 25 cents, the camera flashes after 3 seconds, and then again after every 3 seconds, taking a total of 4 pictures. As you step out, the carny retrieves the row of black and white pictures from the left-hand side and hands it to you as you exit the booth. Do you look at them?
Yeah, man.
Weird. One of the pictures has you, like, with a black eye. And in one of them, you are missing what looks like half of your hair. And as you step outside and looking at these, in one of them, it almost looks like there's a shadowy face behind you. Roll me a sanity check.
Ah,
here we go.
Dun, 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 dun. 28 under 45.
Your sanity is 45?
Yes. It's not very good.
Well, as you look at the pictures again, there's a little smudge. Like little smudges on the actual pictures, and you wipe them away, and they're just normal pictures. The rest of you are walking through the carnival. As you arrive to the tents for the so-called apple bobbing. And it's on Performer's Row, which is number 22. As you're walking in, several wooden tubs are positioned on the stage and filled with water. And behind them, there is a hulking man. This is the biggest man you've ever seen. Not in terms of height, but in terms of sheer muscle size. Like, Douglas, this is the man you think you are. And then some. Like, his arms are as round and big as your legs are. Like, this is a strong man.
I give him, like...
Yeah?
I'm giving him, like, the double over and go, like...
Uh-huh.
Nice.
He looks at you, like, sideways and then addresses the rest of the crowd. We begin tonight's festivities with a favorite of mine. Apple bobbing. He smiles and holds his arms wide as 3 bushels of apples are brought out. An apple away a day keeps the doctor away. The announcer then makes a big show of dumping a bushel of apples into each of the barrels. He then holds up and squeezes a soft rubber apple, saying, "Now, the lucky burrow girl who finds this magic apple gets the keys to the carnival. That means that anything they want, games, rides, attractions, or even food is absolutely free." An audible gasp from the crowd. He then turns his back to the audience and makes a show of placing the apple in each tub through his caverns. But you cannot really see which one it ends up in. Now, if you would come up and form lines here, here, and here. And even before he finishes the sentence, crowds of costumed children eagerly pour into the stage, where they are reluctantly herded into rough lines at each tub. Take your time, be safe, and no one over 12 years of age, please.
What? Fucking hell! I wouldn't say that. You say, oh my, oh no! do that.
Oh, jeepers.
Oh, pretend to be 12 then.
I don't...
Give me a fast talk.
It's 5. It's not going to work. I can try. Can I try and go up to the man and see if I really can't do it and tell him that I did it at Christian camp?
Sure. Hey, miss, again, maximum 12 years of age. And I gotta say, you don't look a day under 15.
No, I'm 20, but I just wanted to say, and I twirl my hair, mm-hmm. and I go like, I just wanted to say that I used to do that this at, like, church camp, and I really, really, really want to do it again, please. Are you, I mean, I don't even want the prizes, it's fine, I just want to bob an apple.
And he looks at you, and he sees your chastity ring, and where he first is like, okay, he sees the ring and is like, oh god, one of these. Like, ma'am, sorry, no one under 12. I have my orders. Like, there's nothing I can do for you.
Okay.
But I walk.
You're free to do anything else on the carnival, as long as you don't skirt the age limit.
Are there any other age limits?
Kelly, what you were walking up?
Yeah, but let her say first, Brandon.
Well, there's an age limit for drinking, and for the costume, there we'll do different categories by age. Like, I wouldn't want you dressed as you are in the 12 and under category for the costume.
What? I'm a ragdoll.
I know. What a ragdoll you are.
Okay, I'm gonna go now. Bye.
All right. Kelly, you were walking up?
Yes. I see that she didn't get it. Sir?
Yes. Ooh. And he's kind of taken aback by, like, your choice of costume. black on black and a gold tiara.
No. And she turns her eyebrows up. She says, how much for her to be allowed to play at least once?
Look.
It's just a park.
Give me a fat persuade roll.
Can I roll again?
Nope. What is your roll?
97. I don't even know what it's my...
What's your...
charisma or anything, but...
No, what's your persuade?
Persuade. Let me see. Oh, it's 40.
So this is a critical fail.
Is it 97, really? Maybe it's... No, it's 97.
Yeah, it's 97. Like, ma'am, I'm not sure what you want from me here. I have my orders. I cannot do anything. She's just too old for this.
What is this game, anyways? What do you have to do? Out of character?
Oh, you have to put your hands behind your back and then... Uh-huh. Keep your head into the tub and try to bite at an apple.
Brandy, you really want to do this?
I used to do it at church camp. It was one of my favorites. Fine. I'll find something else.
I will...
Stupid guy.
I will jump over the counter and try to catch one apple from the bucket and run.
Oh, righty. Indeed, that is apple bobbing. First, the jumping over the counter. Give me a dex roll.
That would be easy. Because I'm rolling so well today.
Where's my dice?
Dexterity, really, right?
Yep.
Oh, my dexterity is 55 and I rolled a 43.
All right. The strong man looks at you and with a 27, he like gets out his hand and blocks you before you can even jump towards the thing. Like, ma'am, I don't want any trouble here, but I'm going to ask you politely to leave right now.
Just, can you at least give me an apple? Can you give me an apple? It's not possible. You cannot give me an apple.
And he looks and basically he's tired of your shit. So he just grabs an apple, hands it to you and says, be gone now. Go on.
Thank you, sir.
Get. Go and get.
Thank you. I walk to Brandy very, like, I'm not smiling. I'm, I have a very boring face all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just give it to her and I say, find a bucket then.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Thanks.
Wow.
Oh, I saw there was a duck pond over there. Maybe you can use that.
There will be many places.
It's okay, guys. I'm fine. I'll survive.
You wanna go catch some ducks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So from this large tent number 22, it's not a tent. It's a performer's row. So basically, it's just like a stage. You pass the big tent and head back towards number 10. But before you go, let's see, Sean. You're standing outside of the picture tent. What are you doing?
I don't know. Call me Bongo Man in the Sky. Get the name right, man. Got a business to
uphold. Call you Bongo when you damn well deserve it.
Well, I'm just perplexed looking at the picture. I'm shaking it, going, oh, why is it changing? Why is it changing? I'm rubbing it again. Is it? And am I seeing anything? I'm just...
As you rub it, a mist starts to form outside of the picture. And a genie... No, it's not. Nothing happening.
I'm just discarding. Well, that was boring. And do I see everyone else walking up towards me? And I'm walking, because I'm going to be, say, I'm between like 8 and 10, so I'm just stood in the middle.
Yeah, I figured you would be there as well. Mm. Yeah. So you're all arriving at 10, and you see Bongo there. Bongo.
Man, don't use the photo booth, man.
Sean to the man in the sky.
Hey, Bongo, we're going to catch some ducks. You in?
Hey, I'm in, man. I'm in. Of course.
Do you want an apple?
Yeah, I would say no to free food, you know. Just take a big bite of the apple. Thanks, man.
As you arrive, instead of a typical booth that you see all around, there is a waist-high rectangular pool with curved ends. The hum of a motor can be heard over the sound of music, and the water in the tank is clearly moving clockwise. Dozens of small rubber ducks follow the swift current around the pool, constantly spinning and shifting their position as they go. The sign reads, 5 cents per pull, and every pull wins a prize. There are no prizes visible, but you watch a little boy hand the carny a nickel before excitedly picking a duck out of the water. He looks at the bottom and sees a blue star, and the carny shouts, "We have a killer!" He reaches behind the counter and comes up with a foil-wrapped chocolate egg about the same size as the real thing. Let's have a small break. A few seconds.
You need to pee?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, and we're back.
And we're back.
In body, but not sure in spirit. No, I am.
So you head over to the duck pond. And you see them bobbing and weaving on these little duckies going clockwise. You see the man looking at you like, he looks at you like you're very old to be doing this. He's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. You don't even have to roll for it. You just pick one out of the water. You hand it, and there's a green star. And he says,
"Who's doing it?"
Well, you were doing it,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, because I thought you're really hyped to...
Yeah. No, and also I look at him and I'm like, is there an age limit on this?
And he looks
as well?
He says like, no.
Okay, good.
No.
I got the green star.
We have a winner. And he just reaches under and gives you a green egg about the same size as a regular egg. Well, it's a green tin foil. The tin foil is green, not the egg itself. Or is it?
I hold it to my ear and I shake it.
There is something inside.
Ooh! I open it up.
It's like a little wooden ball that's inside that looks a lot like your Raggedy Ann ragdoll head.
Fits my costume perfectly.
Indeed it does.
I show it to everyone going, ooh, look at this!
You go, girl.
Whoop, whoop.
Anyone else want to go?
I'm good.
I want to try.
All right, so you also reach in and pick up one of the duckies. And there's a red star on the bottom.
Whoop, whoop.
I wonder what's in yours.
He reaches down and gives you a egg. Well, the size of an egg, the shape of an egg, wrapped in red foil.
I love red.
I couldn't tell by the way you were dressed. And he gives it to you.
Does the egg open?
Yeah, it opens. Yeah. There is a a little what looks like a monkey's face inside. And both of the egg has, as well as yours, Brandy, are chocolate.
Oh, there's another monkey.
Monkey, monkey.
And I hand it to him. Here, there's a monkey.
Goes well with my monkey.
I ask if Doug and Bongo want my chocolate.
Well, I won't say no to free food, man. I got the munchies after all.
I put my chocolates in my bag. Backpack. Yeah. I don't know what I have. Backpack.
I'm watching the sugars, man.
Oh, God. Okay. I give the other chocolate to Bongo as well.
I have one bite of chocolate, a bite of an apple. Bite of chocolate, bite of an apple.
And this man in his late 30s, like, he's very thin. His hair is thinning on top. He kind of leans in like, sorry, I know there's no age limit, but these are more for kids, you know?
Okay, we'll go.
What kind of stuff should we go and see then for people, you know, age appropriate to us?
Let's get our fortune told.
Oh.
I'm in.
When the guy says that, is it okay that Kelly opens her backpack and takes a little notebook and writes something in it?
Of course. Are you doing it like nobody can see it?
No. She's doing like she analyzes things and she writes it down.
Stone faced.
What are you writing there, Missy? Are you one of those undercover shoppers?
Thank you, sir. And I put my thing back and my little notebook back in the backpack. And I look with a lot of judgment.
As you're looking at this man, can they roll me a spot hidden?
Is that the 100?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what is my number here, but it's I rolled a 7.
Ooh.
The name is a spot hidden. 50.
Would be an extreme success.
07.
Sorry, can I ask a question about nope. One of the stats? Okay, bye.
No, <sure. laughs>
what does APP mean under Dex?
Oh,
appearance,
yes.
Okay, so I am very dumb, but very hot.
Ooh.
Wait, I want just to correct something, sorry. I was looking at somebody else's thing. But the number doesn't change much. It's 55, and my 55 and the numbers cut is 27 and 11.
So it's still
a success.
Yeah. As you're looking, you see that this man has a lot of lumps on his pasty skin. And only you see this, but one of the lumps in his neck opens and shows an eye. It locks eyes with you and closes immediately. Roll me a sanity check.
Hey.
It's also 100.
Yes.
And we're back to the 90.
90 what?
90.
Just 90?
Just 90, yeah. Because the other is 0.
Okay.
What's your sanity?
My sanity is 70.
Roll me a d6.
Yes, d6 is a normal die.
Yep.
5.
Here we go.
Look at the excitement in Sebas's eyes.
Yeah. Here we go. All right, roll me a d8 as you take 5 sanity damage in one go.
5.
You suddenly feel as if hundreds of bugs are crawling beneath your clothes. What do you do?
I scream and start scratching my legs.
Uh-huh. You all see this, but you don't know what caused it. What do you do?
Say, what is it? What is this?
Are and you okay?
No, it's like there's something inside of my pants. And what? I try to rip it off. I try to push a piece of... I'm wearing like tied black jeans. And they have those rocking... They have holes in it. You know, like when you scratch it to look a bit old?
Mm-hmm.
So I pick one of those that it's lower, close to my foot, and I push like to open it out off. And I don't think I see anything. Do I see anything?
No.
In my legs?
You're checking, but there's nothing there. And that, more than anything, it's kind of freaking you out. But you still feel it crawling. And even though it's not crawling under your clothes, it feels like it's crawling under your skin. And just as soon as it arrived, the sensation, it's gone.
I'm looking at them very scared.
Probably just a bug, Kelly. You've probably got it off, man. Just take a drink. Okay? We'll be fine. We'll be fine, man.
Yes, and I take a sip of what Sean has in the bottle. I don't know what that is.
Maybe we should get you
passion
some water.
Gin.
No, I don't need water. I need something stronger. I'm thinking now she's looking like, what the... She opens her backpack, take her little notebook, and makes a note.
Need beer.
Buy more beer.
All right.
Bug spray.
Anything you want to do. You have the Whore Carnival in front of you, and it's around 6:30.
Do we have time for a fortune telling and still make the Puppet Master?
No, because the Puppet Master starts right now, and it's only 15 minutes.
What time is it again? 6?
6:30 p.m.
6:30. Let's go see the clown.
You guys go see the clown. I'm going to get my fortune told. Oh, wait. Can we would still be in time to get, or we can get the fortune telling done and then be for the clown?
Yeah, let's do that.
It's you clown could. Dunk, right? Oh, you mean
no,
juggles?
No, it's juggles the clown.
Juggles!
Juggles!
Standing in front of Juggles the Clown as he's doing juggling in the room. Juggles! You head inside. You don't head inside. Come on.
I don't head inside. I stay outside because I don't think... my church allows me to get my fortune told by a heathen.
Mom, Brandy, it's just for fun.
You're wearing your ring, man. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Protect you.
That protects my virginity and my purity, but I still have to make the right choice, and I choose to stay outside.
Are you wearing a cross?
Absolutely.
Well, that'll protect you, man. Don't worry about it, man. God's got your back.
Mm-mm. No, I'm fine. You go inside. I want to know everything. I just don't want to get my fortune told.
Well, maybe you can still come inside and listen to her and just say that you don't want to partake.
A girl can have her boundaries, and these are mine.
All right. Okay.
Whatever, Brandy.
And Douglas turns around. Monkey.
Fortune teller.
All right. So
see you later.
You head through to the fortune teller's tent. As you're standing outside, this smaller tent has a wooden sign standing out front. It shows a mysterious woman covered in elaborate veils sitting before a crystal ball. Above her, it reads, Madame Fortuna, and at the bottom, Tarot or Crystal Readings 50 Cent. The interior is concealed behind a red and brown beaded curtain with no hint of what's inside. What do you do?
So, Doug, do we go in together, or do we just... You go first, and then I have mine done? Go on, man!
Let's do this together, man. Is Kelly coming with us?
Oh, absolutely, I am.
All right.
All together, then. Come on.
And when I say that, I actually pull out my necklace. And it's like a very ugly horn.
It's like a pagan symbol.
What?
It's like a pagan symbol, yeah.
All right. Brandy, do you see this?
Yeah. No. Well, I do it to show her, actually, just because she said she's wearing hers. Yeah.
I wasn't wearing mine out. I'm wearing my purity ring, but not my cross. You know, Kelly, you can try, but, you know, you're still my friend, so.
Oh, I love you. And she walks in with the guys.
As you three pass through the beaded curtain, a narrow opening and a pair of dusky veils brings you into the middle of this rather atmospheric tent. The air is heavy with red ringe and... That was a weird sound. with rich incense and illuminated by a single cut glass lamp suspended over a table. The deep blue cloth that covers the table is embroidered with the silver alchemical or astrological symbols and an empty circle in the center. The walls are draped with soft fabric of purple and blue with star patterns throughout. Situated in a semicircle facing the table are six purple velvet padded chairs with intricate carved wooden arms. Sitting behind the table is a veiled woman who is slowly shuffling a deck of ornate tarot cards that look very old and are probably handmade. Her clothes are reminiscent of the 19th century with a clear French and Italian influences. The cuffs of her burgundy dress have the most delicate red lace, almost perfectly framing her smooth hands. Around her neck is an antique silver pendant with a ruby about the size of a quarter in the center. Welcome, Madame Fortuna speaks in a rich, resonant voice that's incredibly soothing. Please, have a seat.
Is there only one chair or is there three?
There's six.
Oh.
Six chairs.
I'll sit down directly opposite her.
I'll sit in one corner too, like far, and I will take off my little notebook.
I'm gonna sit right next to Bongo.
Bongo, Bongo. Now I have the song in my head. Without waiting for a question, Madame Fortuna, I'm just gonna say Madame Ava, Madame Fortuna smoothly up to the deck and places it in the center of the circle on the table, carefully adjusting it to face you. The card depicts a young girl with two faces that blend together in the middle. The one on the left looks angry and full of malice, while the other one on the right is peaceful and kind. There are shadowy figures behind her in the darkness that feel malevolent, though no detail can be seen. You, as a group, are shocked that this girl looks remarkably like the girl from the poster. The Dark Twins, she whispers, inhabiting one form but in constant turmoil. The light and dark struggle for dominance, and yet one cannot live without the other. She is lost and could yet be found her way out if someone would but reach out and help her. Madame Fortuna immediately flips another card and lays it sideways atop the first. This card features a nude woman standing in front of tattered curtains of pale, dust-colored fabric, her face turned upwards with a look of religious ecstasy, and her angular features. Above her head, she holds an ebony dagger, the blade pointed down towards a small figure in a flowery dress curled on the floor at her feet. The ritual. She pauses for an uncomfortably long moment before saying, "Someone dark approaches from a great distance, invited by a woman of power and great age. You must not let her open the door for him when he arrives." Madame Fortuna lays another card between the other two and herself. It depicts a simple throne carved of wood on a vast plain of ash. It is framed from behind by a pile of bleached human bones and sinew. Sitting on the throne is a burning scarecrow of straw, bundled sticks and jute twine draped in bits of decayed fabric. Apart from its general outlines, it is utterly devoid of any features that might be recognizable as human. The fire has spread to the back of the throne, leaving a charred black.
"The burning throne, we see here that behind every tyrant are the remains of those that they sacrifice to achieve their power. But we also see that a king has no power without a throne."
You look down and another card is on the table, just to the right of the other two. You did not see Madame Fortuna place it there. She says,
"The broken sky."
This card shows what looks like a negative image on a night sky with dark points against a slate gray background. Circling in the sky are what look like giant wasps attacking a crowd of people in the background. In the foreground is a woman looking away from the grim scene. She has a cloth tied around her eyes and one of her hands reaches out as if feeling her way to safety.
"This card warns us that focusing on a threat only gives it the power to harm us, and that we must look away in order to find salvation."
The next card is laid on the left, and this one depicts a force as at night. As you look closer, just inside the tree line can be seen dozens of pairs of predatory eyes. The moonlit grass in the foreground is speckled with red. On the ground, at the edge of the trees, is a smoking flintlock pistol with a bloody grip.
"The wolves."
She taps the card.
"This warns the traveler to not stray from the path, lest they fall prey to the unknown. Evil lingers in the dark places, so you should always travel the path of light."
A final card is placed directly in front of you, completing the cross in the center of the circle. This one depicts a city skyline silhouetted against a crimson sky. Countless fires burn throughout the ages metropolis, sending pillars of black smoke into the bloody sky. Madame Fortuna's voice sounds muffled, as if she's speaking from another room. If she mentioned a name for the card, you didn't hear it. Instead, you hear a kind of background murmur that resolves into the sound of distant screams, breaking glass explosions, and most disturbingly of all, insane gibbering laughter. You're standing in an alley between a pair of nearly identical brick buildings. A dozen feet ahead, a street is lit only by flickering firelight. A single figure runs into view. She turns towards you with a look of absolute terror on her face. She takes a step towards you, but before she can take another, she is jumped by a mob of feral children who begin to devour her flesh while she screams. A sudden sound behind you causes you to turn abruptly in alarm, fearing a similar attack, but there is only a single girl whose name you know to be Alice. Her hair is tied at the back in a ponytail with a large yellow ribbon. Her dress is light with ornate floral patterns and her shoes a polished brown leather. She would have been the picture of innocence were not for the dagger protruding from the top of her head. Only a little blood pooling around the wound until she smiles, reaches up and yanks the blade from her skull. A veritable gout and spray of blood erupt, showering her face and head. Her smile never wavered.
"You could have saved me,"
she says with an unsettling giggle at the end. You could have saved us all. She looks back and only then do you see that the alley is filled with children. All of them covered in blood. You reflexively turn away only to find yourself face to face with a woman of extraordinary beauty with black hair and sharp angular features that you recognize from somewhere. She examines you without expression before saying, "This is the best you could find, Aurora. I knew that you were up to something, but really, this is just embarrassing." A moment later, a disembodied voice that seems to be coming from everywhere says, "You used to be more than this." The woman responds with a mirthless smile, "So did you." You suddenly jerk out of your seat and find yourself in Madame Fortuna's stand. The cars and Madame Fortuna are no longer there. All that remains is the echo of a phrase in your head. Senorem Simium. Senorem Simium. Senorem Simium. Brandy, you're standing outside of the carnival tent. Madame Fortuna's tent. What are you doing?
Just looking around. People watching. Waiting for my friends. What do I see?
You see, like, a lot of patrons running around. You see some kids running around. Roll me a spot hidden.
24 under 45. So a regular success.
You see, like, a couple walking by, and you hear the man, the young man, say to his girlfriend, like, "Last time I was here, they spiked my beard with LSD or something, because it was so weird." As they walk past, you see a few patrons around. You see some children running around in costumes. One of them is yelling, "Let's go see Juggles! Let's go see Juggles! I want to be there for the costume contest!" Time passes. Are you wearing a watch or something?
Don't think so.
I'm definitely not.
Not that we can see, anyway.
My grandparents think that I'm sleeping over at Kelly's, so they don't know where I am.
Ah, all right.
So I don't need to know the time, because I don't have to be home.
That's the spirit. It feels like they're inside there for a very long time. And as you hear over the din of the music, "Thank you, Juggles the Clown. Next up is the costume contest."
Fuck. That's a long... That is a long time.
What do you do?
Can I walk around the... So I'm sort of between 16 and 17. Can I get closer to the tent and sort of see if I can hear what's going on inside? Can I hear? Can I hear if I can hear?
Well, you can hear if you can see. That's why when you arrive somewhere, you put your music down so you can see better.
Yes, exactly.
Roll me another spot hidden. Or not. Or just leave.
Or just leave, yeah.
Also a possibility, and mute yourself while you're trying to get back.
I tried to unmute and accidentally just clicked the wrong thing. Sorry.
No worries.
That's 44 under 45, so it's a regular success.
All right. You're listening, but you don't hear anything inside. What would Jesus do?
Jesus would go save his friends, but then I don't know if they need saving. What does the entrance look like?
It's like a beaded curtain that you cannot really see through.
Okay. I want to walk up to the beaded curtain and go like, "Hey, guys, are you okay?"
There's no answer.
Then I go, "Hey!"
People are looking at you as they walk by, but there's no answer from inside the tent.
Okay. Go in, go
can
in.
Can I, like, take like two or three of the beaded curtain things and go, and like move them along and go like, hello?
Hello?
Hello? And see if I can see anything inside.
You're looking and it's just a set of seven empty chairs and an empty table. And I think that's the part where we're gonna stop.
No, fuck you.
And we'll carry on next time.
No! Oh, my friend.
Thanks again for listening to our playthrough of Carnival of Madness. If you'd like to hear more, search for Zero Dead Productions on YouTube or wait till we upload our next session. You can also contact us on Zero Dead Pod on Twitter. See you next time.
Can I retcon one thing? That when the naked lady thing come down, I high-fived Doug. Boobs! Yeah!
Oh my god.
Yes, that is canon.